Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast, Introverted Queen, where I, an introvert, have conversation with other introverts about living in an extroverted world. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. If you are a returning listener, thank you so much for listening, supporting, and sharing these episodes. Money isn't everything, but it absolutely is important. Anyone who says it's not is lying. This is a quote by Rachel Rogers, who is a business coach and a lawyer. Money allows us to meet our basic needs, shelter, food, etc. And when we cannot meet our needs, then that causes stress in our life. Having money gives you freedom and power. And we all want a little bit of that. I've always had an uncomfortable feeling when talking about money. I don't know if it's because I've always thought it was a little bit taboo, but I've realized over the years is that money discussions are rarely about money, but more about values and what you want your money to do for you. I've been reading a lot about money lately and learning so much about building wealth, retirement, and leaving a legacy. There's so much information out there on social media and books about finances, and financial literacy is so important, especially in communities where there's a lack of knowledge on financial tools and resources. A great book I can recommend to everyone to read about money is called Get Good With Money by Tiffany Alice. On today's episode, I am speaking with Rochelle. She is an introverted financial guru who has a blog called thefinancialfixup.com, where she shares financial tips such as budgeting and debt management. We talked about our relationship with money and what being successful with money looks like. It's a great episode. Check it out. Hi, Rochelle.
Hi, Cindy.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you for being here. Thank you for saying yes again.
No problem. And thank you for having me. I was really excited when you reached out again.
Yeah, cool. So we're going to talk about money today, which is a taboo topic a little bit, but not really. So we'll see where this conversation leads us.
Yes, absolutely.
So you have like a financial blog. What motivated you to start it?
So my husband and I, we paid off a bunch of debt over the past few years. And during the process of learning how to do that, I realized I didn't see a lot of Black representation, especially in Canada, talking about those things. I listened to podcasts and read blogs from Black Americans, but I didn't see many Canadians that were of color talking about money issues. So I was talking with a bunch of girlfriends and, you know, I was sharing what I had done with paying off the debt. And they're like, you need to share this. Like through a blog. I was like, really? People want to hear about this stuff? Because money is so taboo. I didn't think anybody actually wanted to hear what I had to say about it. But they were like, yeah, you need to share more. I was like, oh. And that's really how the blog started. And a lot of it is not just sharing about how I paid off debt, but some of the other financial tips that I've learned along the way from maybe mistakes that I've made and how I fixed it. And what I wish I had known beforehand so others don't have to go through the same mistakes that I went through.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I also follow your blog. And I like that because I feel like if a lot of us haven't been taught about money at a young age, so it's only when you're an adult that you're like, oh, shoot, budgeting, how do I do that? Right. So I think it's really helpful to have these tools where you can actually use them and resources to help you. Right. So,
yes, exactly. Yeah. And like, I wasn't taught about money growing up. Like, you see how your parents use money growing up. But it wasn't something that was like innately taught, especially not in school. So like, we're all just trying to figure it out now that we have, you know, whatever jobs we're working with now, like, okay, what am I supposed to do now so I don't go into like this whole heap of debt, or I'm able to pay these bills or do what I want to do, like go traveling and stuff. How do I, you know, properly plan for these things, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned a relationship with money. What was yours like growing up?
So I had like a scarcity mindset when it came to money growing up. Part of that was we had enough money just to make sure everything was covered. So we always had food, you know, bills are paid, but that was it. There was nothing past just having the needs. And it took longer to save and get the wants that may have been necessary. So when I had my little part-time jobs in high school and stuff, I was very scared about spending my money. So like I would save a portion, maybe like $30, because I wasn't making much back then. And then I would use whatever else to pay whatever bills I actually had to pay, if that was my phone bill or something. But I was always scared of spending all of it because I never knew when I was going to get more of it. The part-time job I had was a regular part-time job. I worked the whole school year when I was in high school, but there was still that, you know, scarcity of wondering, oh my goodness, is this going to be it? Am I actually going to get a full-time job when I graduate from school? What am I going to do if I don't have all this money, et cetera, et cetera. So that's actually something I'm still working on, even though now I have a job where, you know, I'm making a decent wage where I can take care of, you know, my family and stuff. But I still have that mindset, like I'm scared to spend money on things that I actually want now because of, you know, not knowing how to manage it then and some of the things surrounding it growing up. So.
It's so true. And I think that mindset of treating yourself, I don't think my parents ever talked about treating themselves. It was we gotta pay bills, save money, and then that's it. It's like going to Starbucks is just a waste of money, right? So sometimes it's like, okay, we can splurge a little bit sometimes, right? I mean, we're living in this world where if we can afford it, why not? Right? So like it's hard.
And part of it is, you know, saving and investing and doing the things you need to do with your money. You should also be able to enjoy your money. Like you should be planning for fun. I always remind people, when you're budgeting, plan for fun, because otherwise the whole budgeting aspect is not going to be sustainable, because it's going to become something that you don't look forward to because you feel restricted from it, right?
Absolutely. So true. Do you think talking about money is still taboo in 2022?
Absolutely. And the sad thing about it, there's so much access to how to use money now that it shouldn't be taboo. But I think what has happened is that people have now become educated about how to spend their money. And they kind of now understand some of the mistakes that they've made and what they need to do to fix it. But they're embarrassed about sharing the mistakes that they've made. And sometimes even embarrassed to a point where they don't even want to really ask for help or know who to ask for help in order to actually fix those mistakes and actually, you know, make some improvements. And unfortunately, I know within the Caribbean culture, it's not something that's really talked about either. Like it's very, you know, keep whatever is going on with your money to yourself. Don't be broadcasting your business to people, that type of, you know, mindset. But we're now coming to a point where our community is so far back when it comes to growth generationally that it's now affecting us as like the new generation that's trying to build something. Some of us don't have anything to start with because of it. And now we're trying to make those changes. But the mindset of what our parents may have told us about money and not, you know, sharing your business with people is now kind of detracting us from actually sharing with maybe the friend who may also be going through the exact same struggle, but nobody wants to talk about it.
Yeah, there's this lack of transparency when it comes to money. It's so true. And even with myself, I feel like even money conversation is very uncomfortable. Like even when like a group of friends or family, like I don't think people talk about their salary because there may be, resentment, a little bit of jealousy. It's like, oh, this is how much he makes. Oh, that's why they're always traveling. Like that kind of attitude. So everybody just stays shut. Nobody says anything.
Absolutely. And I appreciate the fact that you brought up the whole salary issue, because that is a very huge issue that women in general are dealing with, because we make less than men. I don't remember the stats off the top of my head, but we do make less than men. And part of it is that we are not sharing what we should be getting at certain jobs. So say we have a job, or in this company we have a job, and we feel like we should get a raise. What we often don't realize is if we actually look at a different company to see what they are paying for the same position. Oftentimes, they may actually be paying more. And we're often so loyal to the company that we're with, we don't feel like we should be able to jump to the other company that's going to pay us more, even though really that's what you should be doing because everyone in the industry knows what they're paying their employees for certain things, and they're going to try and get the best deal. And you can't wrong them for it, but we then have to, you know, put our foot forward to try and make sure that we are doing our due diligence to try and get the best deal for ourselves as well and not sell ourselves short.
Yes, it's social. That happens way, way too often. And then when you realize this, it's kind of already too late almost.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've been in the industry for 10, 15 years, and then you're realizing how everybody's salary is so much more different than yours. And then you're like, what have I been doing all this time? So, yeah. So there's a lot of people now who claim that having multiple incomes is important, especially with COVID and, you know, things are not like, I don't think it's the same as it was our parents' generation. You stay in a job for 30 years and then, you know, that's it, you retire. What do you think about that?
You know, multiple streams of income is important, and it's shown itself during the pandemic because a lot of people have lost their jobs and then there's nothing coming in. And oftentimes they may not have had savings, they may have had debt that they were working on. Having multiple streams of income allows you to have the flexibility to say, if I can make enough in these other streams that are not my primary stream, then maybe I can actually let go of that primary stream and focus on those things that I might actually like doing more. And it gives you more options to reach your financial goals. So it might give you a boost to help you pay off the debt that you're trying to pay off. It might give you the boost so that you can start saving and investing. Either you're saving for like something important, maybe it's a new laptop, a traveling, whatever that might be, or even just like your emergency fund, or it's boosting your investing for retirement in the future. We often think that retirement is an age when it's actually a number, right? So we should not be working until 65 and then say, okay, I'm going to go on that trip when I'm 65. Oftentimes, your physical state is not at a point where you can actually really truly enjoy what you want to do at the age of 65. Some people can, but that's just what aging is. So working until you're 65 is not the optimal. I mean, unless it's something that you really like to do, then it's not really working. It's just like, well, it's a hobby where I'm getting paid to do my hobby, essentially, right? But understanding that retirement is not actually an age, it's a number. So if you can reach that number, you'll no longer be having to worry that, oh my goodness, I'm dependent on this job all the time, as opposed to, oh, well, I guess maybe in 10 years I actually could retire and start doing more of the traveling I want to do and, you know, spend more time with my family or do whatever hobbies I want to do, et cetera, et cetera. Like you're now buying back your time.
That's true. And it's funny because I think sometimes, like you said, we think of retirement as, you know, 65 and then, you know, over, that's it. But we don't think about the steps that come prior to retirement, right? And there's, again, there's still that, not like so much secrecy, but there's not a lot of talk about how to prepare for your retirement when you're in your 30s and your 40s. And then you're in your 50s and then you realize, wait a second, I don't have that much money to retire at 65. I'm going to have to work till I'm 80. So,
And that's a scary thing to think about, because I see, you know, people that are over the age of 65 still, you know, trying to work little part-time jobs because they just don't have enough, whatever they got from their pension, if they got a pension, whatever little bit they might be getting from the government, which is still not a lot. It doesn't all add up to being sufficient, because if you see now what inflation is and the cost of everything has gone up, you know, you really have to put the ball in your court and look for your retirement, like plan for it yourself.
Sure. What does being successful with money look like to you?
So it's kind of along the same lines of what we were just talking about. It's being able to have access to time to do what you want to do without having to worry about where your income is coming from. And not having to worry about, you know, if there's going to be a financial emergency that comes up, am I going to be able to handle it? Not having those worries and fears about money. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to be so financially independent that you decide that you don't work anymore. But it's more so having your money in such a state where the actual worry for money is no longer the top priority, because you've put systems into place to help you reach yourself where you have your emergency fund. So if there's an emergency, you know, you're not worrying about, oh my goodness, I'm going to go into debt because I don't have any money saved to deal with this issue. Or, you know, something else happens. You decide, I don't like my job, I want to quit, but you have an emergency fund to say, okay, this is going to buffer me for the next 3 to 6 months while I look for a new job, you know, deal with whatever stressful issue that has come out of this. But I'm not worrying because, well, I've put things into place where I can pivot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so true. And I think sometimes we don't realize how much we worry about money. Like they say, like money is like the number one reason why couples divorce. We spend a lot of time, you know, looking at our bank accounts. Like we spend a lot of time thinking and even worrying about money. So I think once you reach that level of, okay, I think I'm okay, then it's such a relief. And there's a little bit of happiness that comes with it as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, like, it takes just a few systems to put into place to help you get into a financial state where you're not worrying about money, making sure that you're budgeting and knowing where your money is actually going. Oftentimes, we don't know where our money goes. Mm-hmm. And that's where some of the added stress actually comes from. You know, once you put that budget in place, you know, you're saving this much, you're investing this much, and you know, you have this much left to say, this is going to my emergency fund. I can use the rest of this money to go on this trip. I can use the rest of this money to go out to eat with my friends, et cetera, whatever that looks like, whatever fun looks like for you. It's putting the things into place to help you reach that goal on whatever longer trajectory is, if it's 10 years, 15 years, et cetera. It will worry you less because you know, oh yeah, if I keep just doing these steps, even if I automate these steps, I'm no longer even thinking about it because I know it's just going to happen.
Yeah.
Then the actual worry of money is no longer there. And if an emergency comes up, then you'll actually have the money to deal with it. Oftentimes, what happens is we are not prepared for emergencies. We don't actually save for what could happen. There's things we know that would happen. So like, say, your car is going to need maintenance at some point. So you know you're either going to have to do the maintenance or buy a new car. That's something to save for that you know is going to happen, as compared to something that, you know, the storm that happened a couple weeks ago,
yeah,
and people's houses were completely shattered and ruined and they can no longer live in them. And, you know, having at least some type of buffer that, okay, well, we're going to stay in this hotel for 3 days and then we're going to rent this house for 6 months while our house is being rebuilt, et cetera, but like planning for the known things, the unknown things, and the fun things.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of fun things, what do you like to splurge on?
So I love to splurge on food. I'm a foodie. So I love to go to like different restaurants and try different foods. And, you know, it's like, because the weather is getting warmer here now, I went to a food truck festival a couple weeks ago and it was so good. So just, you know, excited about learning, you know, and trying new foods and just enjoying time with friends and family. I love food.
Same. And I think it's the nicest way to splurge. I don't know, in my opinion, I think just like going to different restaurants, I think there's an experience that goes along with it as well. So it's nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So what's the best money advice that you've ever been given?
The best money advice that I've been given, I think, you know, growing up, there wasn't many. So as a child, I was always told to save. Why to save? I never really knew why I needed to save. I just had to save. So I don't know that that was the best, but it was advice that was helpful because I did save. But like now with, you know, the blog and learning a lot more about personal finances and, you know, what it takes to be financially independent, you know, it's planning for the future, because the thing is, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but making sure you put things into place to set you up so that you're able to accomplish the things you want in the future, whatever that might look like. I think that's really important. Sometimes we forget that whatever decisions we make now can actually put us ahead, either 5 or 10 years. And it could be very simple as creating a budget and knowing where your money goes, right? Mm-hmm. So I think planning now for the future is probably the best advice I've been given, because it's holistic in the sense where you're still living in now and doing the things that you need to do, et cetera, but you're setting yourself up with something as simple as, I don't know, I'm going to put $50 away a month in my savings and, you know, do the math for that. And then 5 years later, who knows what that could look like, whether it's just in savings or investing, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. It's funny because I just finished listening to an audiobook this week. It's called We Should All Be Millionaires by Rachel Rogers.
Audiobook so much. It's so good.
So good.
Oh, I'm so happy that you read that.
I think one of the things that stood out to me from that book is that we all know a little bit about money, you know, and then we have conversations with people and then you're like, oh man, I want to go to Australia, but I don't have enough money. And then somebody goes, well, you know, you need to like look at your expenses, you know, cut, you know, don't go to Starbucks so often, don't go out to eat. But nobody ever says, well, why don't you find a way to make more money?
Oh my God.
I'm like, it's so true. I've never given that advice. I've never been told that advice, but I'm like, it's so true. Like, we all have been blessed with talents and gifts that we could do something to make more money, but we're never told this, especially women.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that, I was like, wow, this, it was like mind blowing.
That book is so good. I actually also bought the book after I listened to the audiobook because I was like, this is gold. I actually gave it to a friend for her birthday because I was like, everybody needs to read this.
Yes.
Can you say the title again for everyone?
We Should All Be Millionaires by Rachel Rogers.
Yeah. So if you have not read this book or listened to it as an audiobook, you need to. It is so good.
Yes.
And it really helps you understand how to deal with some of the money traumas that you've dealt with and how to move on from them. And, you know, it's not even just so much about making the million. It's the mindset behind it and moving past some of the things that are limiting us and holding us back from achieving the goals and things we want to achieve.
Yes, you're so right. It is about your mindset, because if you're somebody who, you know, who's a spender, right? And, you know, you have a bit of debt, and then there's this shame that goes along with it, right? Like, I'm so bad with money. Like, I'm just never going to be, like, already in your mind, you're thinking negatively about it. And then it's just, it kind of ruins you. Mm-hmm. So I love when she was talking about your mindset. I'm like, it's so true. So very interesting.
Yeah, it was such a good book. Oh my goodness.
Well, Rochelle, it's been so nice. Thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you for having me. I enjoyed our chat.
Yes.
That was such a great conversation I had with Rochelle. I hope you found it insightful just as much as I did. One thing I took away from this conversation is that financial literacy is so important. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and please subscribe. Follow me on Instagram at introverted_queenblog. Thank you so much for tuning in. Take good care, and until next time.